A few verses out of the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus, the Word, taking upon human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. That little baby, He grew up. He performed miracles. He taught the people. He walked on water. And then He did what He ultimately came to do. He freely laid down His life for the sins of the world. We thank You for our Savior, born in the city of David. A man who was born to die for us. Father, I pray, if there's anyone here this evening that's never trusted in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, I pray tonight, this Christmas Eve, they would recognize why Jesus came, why He died and rose again, that they would trust in the work of what Christ did on the cross and His resurrection for forgiveness of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Solomon was building the temple, he asked a question. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? A good question indeed. Will God dwell on the earth? God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and then in the temple. But we see that glory departing in the book of Ezekiel from a disobedient nation of Israel. Then a marvelous thing happened. The glory of God came again to His people in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. God with us, Emmanuel. John, the beloved disciple, inspired by the Holy Spirit, starts his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word." Now you can say this parallels Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where we see, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, John takes us before time ever existed. In the beginning was the Word. This word "was" conveys the idea of a continual existence. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is a title for Jesus Christ. He's called the Word. Interesting. Why would John, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, but why would he call Jesus Christ the Word? I think referring to Christ as the Word is more easily understood when we reflect on our own purpose for using words. Words are used to communicate, to express, and convey meaning. Therefore, Jesus is the expression, revelation, and communication of God. Christ is the incarnate Word of God. You know, there are those who believe that God cannot be known. Or there are those who believe that God doesn't want to be involved in our lives. There are those who even doubt the existence of a God. John very eloquently, very truthfully declares that God revealed Himself in every way He needed to reveal Himself to us through Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It says that He was the Word, and the Word was with God, referencing the Father. Great picture here of the Trinity. God the Son. We also see this wonderful communion between the Heavenly Father and His Son. Jesus, the Word, was with God, and the Word was God. Maybe you're here this evening and you're questioning, was Jesus Christ truly God? Was He God in the flesh? Or was He just another historical person? Was He just a good man and a good teacher? Or was He really God? John answers that question for us. Jesus Christ is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is not only the eternal Word, but He is also the creative Word. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were all involved with the creation of this universe. Psalm 33, verse 9 says, "For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Spoke the Word into existence. Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is God. Now verse 14 of John chapter 1. And the Word, reference to Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In John's epistle, he says in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John wanted to make sure that his readers, that his audience understood that Jesus is God and that Jesus came, took upon human flesh, was a human being just like you and I, yet without a sin nature. He said, we touched him, we saw him. He wasn't some phantom or a spirit. He wasn't an illusion or a ghost. He was Jesus Christ incarnate. The Word became flesh. The eternal Son of God came as a baby. He came and took upon human flesh. He retained all his deity. 100% God. 100% man. Why? Would a sinless, holy, all-powerful God do this? John also answers that question in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How was the Word made flesh? Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Christ took on himself human nature, identified with us in every aspect from birth to death. There is a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And at the right time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for the world. John 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Many presents, thousands of presents will be opened tomorrow morning around the world. And we buy presents for our loved ones. Just because of that, we love them. And we want to demonstrate that love. You know what? The best gift ever been given. You will not find it under a tree on Christmas morning, wrapped in pretty Christmas paper. The best gift ever given was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And this gift wasn't placed under a tree. This gift was nailed to a tree. This gift must be received like any other gift. It's received through faith. Because that's how we're saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. Just while you stay seated with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here this evening, there's never been a time that you've trusted in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. Tonight, this evening, this Christmas evening, can be the best Christmas you've ever had by receiving the greatest gift ever given. This gift never wears out. In fact, it's eternal. God offers you eternal life. It never ends. You know, one day we're going to die in these bodies. They'll continue to grow older and eventually we die. But if you've trusted in Christ for forgiveness of sin, you've asked Him to save you, to forgive you. Though these bodies die, you will receive a new glorified body in heaven. And you will live forever with your Savior. That's why Christ came. That's why He took upon human flesh. To die for your sin. On the third day He rose again from the dead. And He is victorious over sin, over hell, over death. And He offers you the free gift to trust in Him. If you understand that you're a sinner, you acknowledge that, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You realize there's nothing you can do to earn heaven, to earn eternal life.